ladies. My name is Jonna Lawrence, and I have 4 kids, and I'm a veteran homeschool mom. Today, we're going to talk about things that are unique solutions or unique scenarios for our school that we found that made something happen. And my unique solution was I worked as a computer programmer, and I had 20 hours a week I had to work. And to do time dedicated for work, I hired a homeschool high school senior who came in with her own books to do school for the day. But while she was there, she watched my baby, my kindergartner, and my second grader, and she would do school with them. Because we used sunlight, she was able to follow the instructor guide, and she was able to do school with the second grader and the kindergarten, handwriting, math, language arts. And I was able to work from home at the time, or in the office, but if at home. And at lunchtime, I helped her with her math, and we did a swapping of benefits. So she brought in her skill of being able to babysit, and I brought in the skill of being able to help her with her math and all of the things that she needed. And so that is one option of a unique way to resolve trying to get work done and do school and all the things. Ladies, I look forward to getting to know you this year and all the things and your graciousness. I look forward to it. Bye.
My normal homeschool experience. I have 4 kids, which is a big family, unless you're talking about homeschoolers, and then I only have 4 kids that I've educated. I've educated through COVID, through moving, through divorce, through remarriage. I would have to say that the hardest thing we homeschooled through was a medical situation with one of the kids that thank God was not more serious than it turned out to be, but it required weekly, like a couple of hours of visits at the children's hospital that's an hour away. And so we had one day a week just eaten up, and that was a challenge. But we got through it. And whatever makes you feel like, oh, I could never homeschool with this situation, you can too.
Moving while homeschooling can be especially challenging. Our family has done that 4 times during my homeschool journey. Probably the most challenging time for us was when we moved from Maryland to Pennsylvania. We were moving to Northeast Pennsylvania. I grew up in Northwest Pennsylvania. So my 5th child was born. 2 weeks later, we moved out of our home, packed up, went to be with my parents while my husband went to look for housing. So that was supposed to last about 2 weeks. Instead, it lasted 3 months. So I was there with a newborn and 4 school-aged children. Thankfully, I had the foresight to pack my sunlight just in case. I did take that with us. I did not take winter clothing, so that was an issue. That was a tough, challenging season, but God was faithful, and I lived to tell, and so did my children. Here we are.
One of the aspects of our homeschool that has been a challenge, and I would say an enormous learning opportunity, has been educating our son, one of our sons of 4, we have 4, one of our sons who had a serious medical event in his early years that impacted his language abilities and his development. And so in the early years, when we started out, after that medical event, his specialists disagreed. We didn't have a clear-cut diagnosis, and we didn't have the benefit of any clarity about exactly what was going on. But with sunlight, we were able to find his strengths, address his weaknesses with his strengths, and really help him along the way in sometimes unconventional ways. And lots of problem solving involved. Lots of learning for mom as well as son. And we were able over the years to find abilities that he has that we didn't know that he had in the early years, to address again the weaknesses using the strengths. And it has been an amazing experience that I'm so grateful for as we approach graduation this year.
Our home
homeschool normal has changed significantly since we first started homeschooling back in 2012, but it's never really been a traditional homeschool schedule. When we first started, we only had one child. Our daughter was 3 years old, and I started teaching her using Sunlight's preschool program. At the same time, my husband was working out of state every Monday through Friday. He would fly home on Friday night, just in time for me to head off to a 12-hour night shift every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night. I would return home on Monday, and he would leave town again. But we quickly saw how much she was learning and excelling with Sunlight and knew we had to figure out how to make it work with our crazy schedule. Then a few years later, our son was born and I quit working nights and moved back to a more typical Monday through Friday 9-to-5 schedule. At that time, I started working from home, which allowed the kids to be home with me and not need childcare. And then I started homeschooling kind of in the afternoon at the end of my work day. Then fast forward a couple more years and you have the pandemic, and now my husband's working from home as well. And while he still travels some, it's not nearly the frequency that it was before, meaning most of the time the two of us are here during the day trying to work, while our kids, who are now in 8th grade and 3rd grade, are also trying to do their schoolwork. Add in our 70-pound exuberant pup to the mix, and there's a lot of activity in our house during the day. But we found a way to make it work where we both get our jobs done and then both of us teach our kids in the afternoon and the evening. My husband and I often take a tag team approach where one of us takes one child while the other one takes the other, and then we'll switch depending on what the kids are learning about. But it's not uncommon to be doing read-alouds over dinner or grading math problems right up until the kids go to bed. But because we have seen how much our kids have grown with Sunlight, we are fully committed to adapting and doing whatever we have to make sure that we're fulfilling both our career commitments as well as homeschooling with Sunlight. So now our plan, Lord willing, is to continue until our kids graduate, no matter what that looks like or where we are with our jobs. But we make sure that we do it as a family, which I love. So no matter what your situation is, I guarantee you, you can homeschool.
What was normal for our family as we homeschooled was that we homeschooled along with taking care of an aging relative. We have the privilege of caring for my father-in-law, for my mother, for her husband, and for my husband's aunt, all while doing Sunlight. My friends encouraged me to put my kids in school because they thought it would be easier. They didn't know how much we appreciated the flexibility and the structure that Sunlight gave us as we navigated caring for someone and educating our kids. The instructor's guide not only helped me on those mornings after I had been in the emergency room all night and was exhausted, I didn't have to think about what to do for school. It helped whoever was taking care of my kids if I was out for the day at a doctor's appointment. They could see, just read this chapter, ask these questions, do these problems. It also allowed my children precious time with their grandmother, with their aunt, that they would not have had if they had been in school. We were able to serve by doing laundry, doing housework, taking care of meals, all of those things. And that was an enhancement to their education, not a distraction. So while it was not the easiest thing, it is a road I am so thankful the Lord put us on, and I'm thankful for the help that Sunlight gave me on that journey.
Normal homeschooling for us was not sticking with a typical school schedule at all. When you've got kids that play t-ball or have gymnastics lessons after regular school hours, you end up staying up kind of late, and school for us would start at 9 o'clock, maybe 9:30, and that worked great for us. Sleep is important.
I am now a retired homeschool mom. All of my kids are graduated from college and they're all working. But when I first started homeschooling, I had a kindergartner, a three-year-old, and a baby. And during that time, I was also working for Sunlight Curriculum as a consultant, which means I would travel to homeschool conventions and work in the booth. And I also, for a time, was an advisor, which means that I worked on the phone and chat and email, talking to potential customers or existing customers. So it was a bit of a juggle to be able to homeschool three children and work at the same time, but I loved what I was doing and we made it work. My husband is an engineer and he travels a lot for work, and so we quickly found that we didn't want to be separated for that time. So I just would pack up the books, the instructor's guide, all of our stuff, and we'd hit the road with Dad. I would do the read aloud in the car, the history, science, I would read out loud in the car, and then when we get to the hotel room, we would do our other schoolwork, and when we were finished with our work, then we were free to explore the area and have some time to play in the pool. So it really fostered a closeness in our family to be able to work it out where we could travel along with Dad.
Well, hello everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Homeschool Helps and Hacks, Homeschooling the New Normal Way. And really what we want to get across is that no matter what homeschooling looks like in your home, you can make it work no matter what's normal for you. So I am Sunny. I'm Sunlight's community manager. I've been a working mom my entire homeschool journey, so I have lots of tips and tricks for that. And joining me today are Jen and Jonna. Jen, do you want to introduce yourself first?
Hi, I'm Jen. I have not always been a working homeschool mom, but I had to learn to be about 10 years ago. And so hopefully I'll have some tips and tricks for you too.
Well, perfect. Jonna, I don't see you yet. Or can you hear us? Your screen is still dark. Jonna might be having some technical issues when she gets on. We'll introduce her as well. Also, this is streaming live, so make sure you post your questions, whether you registered ahead or you're watching in the app, and we will help you troubleshoot the specific situations that you are going through, whether you're a grandparent, a single parent, military family, working parent, you know, have a lot of kids or just one kid. I mean, we will help you out with whatever situation you are going through. So let's start by talking about some scheduling considerations. I mean, this is a big issue no matter what your homeschool looks like, but especially if you have other commitments or things that kind of pull you away. So Jen, what are some ideas for the schedule that might make it easier for parents dealing with that?
Well, I'm a planner. I know you are too, Sunny, but I'm a planner. And so I like to have an idea of how I can possibly fit everything in. So I started out like making a list. This is what I have to do. This kid has to do school. This kid has to do school. The house has to be cleaned. The food has to be fetched from the store. The food has to be turned into a meal, you know, like all the different commitments that we have. And then I put the things in the schedule that cannot be moved, like work or, you know, dinner has to happen at dinner time, whatever. And then we fit in everything around it. A lot of people talk about like, well, we have breakfast and devotions all together over breakfast. And I'm like, okay, when I had to work first thing in the morning, that could not possibly happen. So we just adjust to whatever has to happen first.
That is great advice. Jonna, now we see you. Do you want to introduce yourself really quickly? And then we're talking about scheduling and how to kind of work your schedule if you've got a lot of different things going on.
My name is Jonna Lawrence. We've all homeschooled from the get-go when my husband told me we had a young kid, but I've always carried on at least one part-time job, sometimes three part-time jobs. This last year worked full-time. I have moved. I have done single parenting in this last year. It's, you know, I've done several of the different options. And as for scheduling, I always looked at it. I got my big rocks in for the day and anything else I would take care of. And if a big rock didn't happen in that day, meaning my history, my language arts, my math, it might get moved to Saturday, or it might be, that's our bedtime story today. You know, I just fit it in. It was just what we did. It was how we lived and breathed, I should say.
Yeah, I agree. I think it becomes more of a lifestyle where you fit school in where it fits. I know I use my IDs as a checklist, and we never do school during the day together. The kids work on their independent work during the day, but we are always late afternoon, early evening doing school then. If we don't have time, Jonna, like you said, we might move something to Saturday, but we still get it all done. It's just not that 9-to-5 schedule that you might be thinking of. We have a question about, will this be available online to watch again? Yes, as soon as we are done filming this. We'll post it in our Sunlight app, so you'll be able to see it there. And you can rewatch it whenever you like. Also, we do see some questions coming in. We have one from Tiara saying, sometimes I feel I don't have enough time to spend with my preschooler. I homeschool 3 children and 1 is 7 and the other is 5. The preschooler is 3. So what would you say while we're talking about scheduling as far as spending time with all your kids enough? Do you ever feel like kids get left out, and what do you do about that?
My first advice is always to start at the bottom. So that 3-year-old would be first on my list, because toddlers that feel ignored will make you pay. And so if you can fill that kid's tank first, then, and read some books or make breakfast together or do a craft or whatever floats that kid's boat, if you put that first in your schedule, then you get a little bit more leeway generally to spend time with the other kids and maybe pass the toddler between the other kids, maybe dad, maybe mom, whoever. But we start the toddler's day outright. That gets us a lot of mileage.
Another thing is that you're, even after you fill the tank for your toddler, let them sit and listen to the read alouds or watch the experiment. Don't let them maybe do it all, but they catch more than you teach them. I heard from the early, one of my very first homeschool conferences was more is going to be caught than taught. So your young one's going to come along having seen their older ones do stuff, and they're already going to know a lot of the concepts you're wanting to teach, and you get to go deeper with them that you never could with the older ones. So.
True.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys mentioned to do the young ones first. Something else that's helpful about that is younger kids are usually up earlier, and so that is easier as well. I think we have a question about some older kids. Dance Hearts 07 is saying, I'm honestly trying to figure out how to begin a good schedule and how to do school. My boys are in 7th and 9th, 12 to 14. Anyone help me? I know having teenagers, we like to start later. They like to sleep in. What would you guys say for getting those older kids on track? They're also at an age where they can become more independent. What do you think?
Jen just did a great video on using a student planner. I would say that would be a good place to jump off. 7th and 9th grade are excellent ages to start creating an independent learner that they know things they can do without you. Other thing is to give them the consequences at the end of the week. If they're not done, they have to take some ownership. That you have to remind them, but they have to take ownership.
And to piggyback on that end of the week idea, one of the things that we've done at those ages is to make a weekly schedule. By the end of the week, this much math needs to have been done. You need to be finished with chapter 15, and you need to have finished this read aloud, and you need to have finished this science, you know, whatever. And so, you know, if I had one that would get up every morning and do that day's assignments and be done, I had one that would do most of the week of school Thursday night and Friday night. But it comes a point where they have to take ownership of it, and, you know, they have to schedule it. And mine knew I was not available to help in the morning, but I was available to help in the evening. And so, you know.
I would say, too, that when you're trying to cultivate that independent work, you might have to go a week or two of saying, okay, did you do today's work? How are you going to do it tomorrow if you didn't get it done today? Teach them how to, you know, gauge themselves, pace themselves. That would be another tip. You know, if they think they can do 5 math lessons in a day, let them fail. You know, you.
And that trial and error and getting the kid to get some buy-in into it, I mean, that does help a ton. I know my daughter, I've always let her sleep in. And this year she discovered she had more work. And after about a week or two of that, she said, so can you wake me up a little earlier? Because I'm tired of spending all day doing school. I mean, feel free to adjust it. And yeah, let the kids kind of tell you, this is what I like to do. This is what I want to do. I love the idea of by the end of the week, you need to have this done. That allows them to manage their own time. And like you said, Jonna, when you're starting out, if your child
can't quite be that independent yet, you know, really work with them on a schedule of, okay, today we're going to do this, and then tomorrow we're going to do this. We have a question about struggling to do everything from Brianna. She says, I struggle with feeling like I have to do everything in the box or on the schedule in order to give my kids a proper education because I'm relying on Sunlight's expertise. How would you suggest a balance of what to keep and what to throw out and when? This is a great question because sometimes when you hear someone say, I dropped a book, you know, you're like, well, how'd you decide that? What are you doing? So what do you guys think? What has to be done? And then what things can you modify a little bit?
Well, like Jonna said before about putting the big rocks in first, if you hit a week where there is something more important going on than school, or our priority is to catch up with history, or our priority is to study for that, you know, calculus, ACT, whatever, then maybe that's the time to let a read aloud go to maybe next week. Maybe we just skip the one that's on the agenda when we don't have time to do it. Maybe we put that one off knowing that there's one I'm not looking forward to and we can skip that other one later.
I was going to say that, and again, it's the big rocks, but you can decide. Sometimes we have a read aloud and they're great, but we just don't have the time to have the group discussion and the writing assignments that maybe are at the high school level. So let's just listen to the book. Let's find it on audio and listen to the literature that we're reading through so we're exposed to it, and let us go through that one fast so we can then get to the next book. So that's another option to go around getting the schedule done without missing something.
Yeah, and if you're using 5-day, I know, Jen, early on we were talking about how we're scheduled, we're type A's, we're perfectionists, we want to do it all, that's why we're trying to do it all. If you're using 5-day, maybe consider dropping down to the 4-day options on those read alouds, you know, or just bring it back a notch. You're still going to get a great education, but you don't have to do everything. For me, because I am very much that rule follower, I like to do everything. I actually will draw an X through the things we are not planning to do. That way I have check boxes by things and X's. And so that might be a good idea if you feel like, I have to do this box because it's staring at me. Well, draw an X through it. Now you don't have to anymore. So that can be really helpful as well. Let's see, we have a question about what makes Sunlight more special than other homeschooling options and why should we choose Sunlight instead of regular or charter school? I could talk all day on this topic, but I'll let you ladies start first. What is it that about Sunlight that has kept us on this long-term journey with Sunlight, and why do we think it's the best option?
Because it is the best. No, personally, I think it's the best option. I love Sunlight because A, it takes the planning out for me. I don't have to reinvent a wheel that has just been thoroughly thought through and almost tediously gone through discussion questions, writing assignments, history points, geography, the timeline, all these things that make it so robust and good. You don't find them in other curriculums in the way that Sunlight presents it. And it's so customizable for your kids and their ages to group them, to not group them. I've looked at other curriculums. I talk to other homeschool moms all the time that use other curriculums. And I always, still to this day, with not homeschooling, feel like I took the best route. I don't feel the grass is greener on the other side. I feel sorry that they don't get to be on my side of the fence if they're not there. So I don't know if that helps you, but that is, it's the robustness. It's the proof in the pudding when you see the graduates. I have 4 graduates now, and I see them being fully functional adults out in the world, gone to college, and they contribute a lot to Sunlight.
First of all, Sunny, are you spying on me? Because I put little X's in the things I skip. I had no idea anybody else did that. I feel like exposed now. I agree with what Jonna said too, that there's, it's so robust. It is so planned. It is, everything is accounted for. All the things are scheduled. And as much as I want to do it all, I can't. And it is actually easier for me Okay, I'm going to admit it out loud. It's easier to skip things than to have to add, because like I would have to if I felt like it wasn't enough. And I have never felt like it wasn't enough. Like when we hit a snag in those high school years where there's just not enough time, we sometimes have just popped an audiobook in, because I can listen a lot longer than either of us can read out loud. And then I go through their IG, circle two or three of those good meaty questions, and instead of looking at all of them, mm-hmm. we just do two or three. And if it's quicker for that kid to do it in writing, great, hand it to me. And if it's quicker to just do it in a discussion, great, let's just do it. And then we can minimize that time, fit the things in without skipping the whole book, just listen. And then, you know, they know which questions I think are the most important. And so, yeah. And then just draw little X's through the things that you skip. Cause then you're like, I made an executive decision. That box is marked. Let's move on.
Exactly. I would say two more things on them. So when you're looking at that schedule and it feels like there's too much, I told a mom this years ago, and I live by it, Whiteout. If you have to do everything that's printed on your page, let me introduce you to a product called Whiteout. And we'll just white out the part. It's not printed. It's not there. There's so much there. You will be fine. I promise you, if you have to miss assignment, if you have to skip a book. The other thing, when my kids were older, I introduced them to the concept of Google Documents or a shared document where they could answer the questions and I could look at it during the week. So I knew that how they were progressing. I would suggest that for your high school level kids, but that gives them an independence. That also gives them prep work for when they're going to college and a computer skill at the same time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just a reminder, just because Sunlight assigns it as a read aloud doesn't mean that your child, if they are an advanced reader, can't read it themselves. Or you also don't have to read all the history, all the science, all the everything to everyone. We actually have a question about running different levels at the same time and also kids distracting each other. So Donnie is saying we have kids at two different levels and are finding it overwhelming running between the two to facilitate the learning for each lesson. My wife works from home during the day, so I'm running between the two kids to do lessons. They're 9 and 12. How do you balance teaching two kids at different levels for every subject? I'll start with that one because my kids are 13 and 8. They've always been at different levels as well. And I mentioned it briefly in the intro video, but we take kind of a tag team approach. My younger child needs a lot more one-on-one because his reading is not at the level his sister's is. And so our daughter works basically all day by herself on anything she can do independently. And then we check in with her in the afternoon. So, you know, we'll ask the history questions, we'll grade the math, we'll go over the written assignments, all of that. But for our son, he needs a lot more one-on-one, us reading things to him. So my husband and I kind of tag team and we'll say, okay, you know, we look at the IG together and we'll say, what do you want to do? I despise science experiments, so I never want to do those. And my husband takes those on. When it comes to the read alouds, we'll kind of take turns what we're more interested in. And as far as focus for, let's see, we've got a question from Heather about that, trying to keep the kids focused and not a distraction to each other, have them work in separate parts of the house. That's my tip on that. My kids are never side by side working. It is often separate areas. And like I said, with the tag team approach, I will take one kid in one room while my husband takes the other kid in the other room and we'll go over things like that. Ladies, what are your ideas for that? Two different programs or more? We have some Sunlighters that use three or four programs. So how do you get all that done?
I usually picked one of the Bibles that we would do together. And once the older ones were doing more independent Bible, they might tag in with the middle school and the elementary to listen as a family. Whenever we did it, I usually picked a mealtime like breakfast because their mouths were full and mine could be empty and I could read. And when it came doing two levels, I would do a read aloud for one at lunchtime and a read aloud for the other one at dinner time or prep time for dinner. My husband would read often as I did dinner. And so that took care of the history and the read alouds. And then I just kind of tag team. One would work on one would work on the other. And like Sunny, I put them in different rooms. I had four kids. And so there was a rule at our house. You couldn't sing or hum out loud because that annoyed all the other siblings. And they still to this day, you know, 18 and up, remember, they're not allowed to hum and read out loud at the dinner table. So sing and hum out loud. Yeah, they joke about it still.
I was one of those crazy people who had multiple programs going on at once. The fullest year I had was 12th grade, 9th grade, 5th grade, and 1st grade. Of course, with those high schoolers, you're really more coach and counselor than, you know, one-on-one teacher, but it took all day. And I have pictures of one of my kids and my dog sitting on my bed with Eastern Hemisphere spread out, papers, maps, the whole nine yards. And what you can't see in the picture was that it was like 11 o'clock at night.
The other thing is enlist the older kids to help with your younger ones.
Oh, yes. My older kids frequently explained a thing when I was, when they just could not hear it from mom. I don't know if your kids do that, but, you know, one would step in and be like, mom, I got it. Just let me handle it. Which is a huge blessing. But yeah, I didn't necessarily put mine in separate rooms, but they had to be out of view of each other. Like you couldn't sit where you could see anyone else.
That's a great point. Yeah, keep them separate or away from each other where they're not distracting or fighting with each other. Rebecca is asking about special learning needs. So between the learning aspect and food allergies, which means extra cooking in their house, and therapies, I'm so tapped out. The house is just terribly messy when I'm following through on the school with all these things. So this is great both for special needs or, you know, anything that has you super busy like that. How do you handle that when you're maybe emotionally overwhelmed or you feel like you can't get to the normal daily activities? All of these things.
Loop scheduling for moms. I mean, most people are familiar with loop scheduling, like in academics. That we're going to start with whatever the thing is we didn't get to yesterday. I used to tell my husband he could come home to a hot meal, a clean house, happy children, educated children, or a happy wife. And he could pick three any day. But there is no way to get to five. So if the house is such a mess that it's overwhelming you, let's handle the house first. If, you know, if cooking every day is too much, then cook 4 days worth at one time. And then not cook tomorrow. And I know that with kids with special needs, like that can be just completely overwhelming just in itself. But, and then whatever thing didn't happen yesterday. So if today we clean the house and we bolt cook, then school is probably going to happen tomorrow. And showers. Let's do school and showers tomorrow. And then at the end of 2 or 3 days, you can be like, look, I did it all.
The other thing is when you have those kind of needs, maybe you work a 4-day schedule. But make it into a 3-day schedule. And no, you're not going to do it in 36 weeks, but you're probably going to do it in 40. I'm trying to do the math real quick. 43 weeks. So you're not doing a typical school year. You're just going to do year-round schooling and do Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We do school. Tuesday, I just clean house. Friday, we have Thursday, we have doctor's appointments, and we take care of the needs of the what is in front of us and not worry about, did I dot my I and cross my T's on school? And did I add my sums up? But my house is taken care of. My laundry is taken care of. I took care of the kids and everyone's alive. Yep. School is every day of the year. This is why you just need to start thinking about it. And you can do 2-3 days a week if you need to and still get it done because there's that many days in our year.
Yeah, and I would encourage you to rely on the resources you have. So whether that be a spouse, a parent, a friend, maybe hire a housekeeper or order your groceries online or, you know, have an older sibling read to younger siblings. Don't feel like you are the only one responsible for all of those things, whatever and whoever you have in your life that can help with some of those other things. And then the things that are less important, Jen, I love what you said. If the house is overwhelming and it needs to be cleaned up, do it. But If not, I mean, I will tell you, my house is almost never cleaned as much as I would like it to be. But I recognize that that is a phase in our life right now because all four of us are here all day. So even if we had it clean in the morning, it's not going to be clean in the afternoon. And the kids know if we're cleaning off the dining room table from all the sunlight, that means somebody's coming over. Otherwise, there's always school stuff out all the time.
There's no clean house like company clean house. Exactly.
So true. Yeah. And so we've got some questions about adding in, you know, future, like maybe babies that are on the way, preparing meals, maybe these shorter seasons that are coming up that you have a little warning about. How do you guys get ready for that? And then let's see, and in a limited space, questions about limited space. Currently have 3 kids homeschooling in under 1,400 square feet. So how do you find space for everyone and help them all?
So I homeschool 4 kids in 1,600 square feet. So I understand some of your concept. We use baskets. Actually, I use those magazine holders, the color code ones, and each kid had their own color and their books in it for the day. And I use the dining room table and underneath the table for storage even. So it was quite compact on top of each other. But color coding made it easy, and it made it easy to store it away real quick and then pull it back out when I needed to. I mean, our table had to be cleared off most every night so we could eat dinner on it, even though we did school on it and we did our crafts on it. We did our science on it. Yep. I cooked on it too because our kitchen was tiny. So,
yep. I had 3 kids in 700 square feet for a year. And that single table was where everything happened. Everything from dinner to school to, you know, doll surgery happened on that table. And so it got cleaned off pretty often because otherwise you were eating on the floor. But I agree with Jonna, a basket for each kid, however big it needs to be, or some people use a small bookshelf with as many shelves as you have children, and each kid gets one shelf. And so everybody knows where to find everything. I think the key to doing anything with a family in a small space is getting rid of everything that you do not need and having a place for every single item in the house to be put away, school or not.
Yeah, we have some questions about if you are working and you have older kids, teens, how much should you leave them to do independently? It sounds like she is working outside the home, so she's trying to figure out how much to leave the kids at home to do their work together, combining kids, and then evaluating and grading. So what do you guys think with older kids? I am fortunate that I get to work from home, so I haven't experienced that outside the home unless I was on an opposite schedule from my husband. But what do you guys think with older kids? What can they do independently? And then how do you grade or evaluate what they're doing, you know, when you're not actively watching what they're doing?
My go-to for kids who are old enough to be independent is making an agreement beforehand of what the expectation is. And then if they meet the expectation, that's an A. So if you're supposed to read these 2 books and do this much math and this science chapter plus the experiment this week, and at the end of the week, those things are done, that was success in your independent work. Whether I'm there to supervise it, whether I see it happen or not, if we could agree on what had to be done beforehand, then everybody knew at the end that if those things were done, we're good. And if those things were done, we're not good.
So I've worked outside of the home, even doing sunlight conventions when I've been a sales rep with them. I leave town on a Wednesday. I don't come home till Sunday. And I've had high schoolers that have had to do their school. But like Jen, we set up usually on Sunday night. I would set the schedule and I'd say, this is what's expected this week. I expect you to do these questions. The expectation. Dad would have been alerted when he was there to let him know, maybe on Wednesday you need to check that they did X, Y, and Z. I'm not asking you to grade, but they know that this is a hurdle. This is like a guide mark that they're on track for the week. And then when I got home, then they had to turn everything to me so I could see it. And they knew if you are old enough to be in high school and you're doing high school work, then you're old enough to read the book. You're old enough to read your student guide. You're old enough to follow it. You can't tell me you didn't know you were supposed to do the next chapter, because you can read that guide just like I can read the guide. And sometimes that you have to step it through, but not being in the house all day, you got to trust your kids and you got to teach them to be independent. And that's hard for us as moms to let go, but it's also good for them and it does you well at the end of the day.
Yeah, remember that you're not only educating them academically, you are teaching them life skills that they will need as an adult. And I think it's a lot easier to do that when you do have, you know, you're working independently. You need to manage your time wisely. You need to be responsible. You know, and I have found that starting my kids when they're young with what they're capable of makes it much easier as they get older. So, you know, as soon as they could do math on their own, you know, I would explain it to them, but then they would go off and work on it on their own. And then we gradually added more. So now my 13-year-old can basically do everything academically on her own. She can feed herself. She can clean up after herself, you know, all of those basic skills that you need. We have a question about how long a typical homeschool day lasts. Sometimes we go from 9 to 1, other times it takes 9 to 4, and it's a very long day. We've talked about kind of shifting your schedule around. Clearly, we have all done it different, you know, durations depending on what we have going on in our lives. But what do you do if it feels like a very long day, for one? And then, you know, what do you think is typical depending on the age of your kids?
I don't know if there's something that is one answer is going to be typical for everybody. If you are a stay-at-home mom with two little kids, that's going to be an entirely different day than if you're a working mom with, you know, with older middle school and high school kids who have to be independent. So I don't know if there's one single answer. It can be a long day, especially once you add in the reading, especially once we're talking about multiple kids. If there's a snag where math can't just happen, but I need to sit and explain, or we're going back and back and back to the video, or we're checking answers and figuring out what we don't know. If we're working on a major project, or if it's a science experiment day, that can be a long day. And so I think the big thing for me was to shift my expectation that school would be 9 to 1, because some days it's 9 to 1. Woohoo! Let's go for a walk. Let's go grocery shopping. Let's, you know, go, let's not do anything, whatever else we want. But some days it's going to be, you know, kids asking you questions about DNA over breakfast all the way to like 11 o'clock. And they've got Eastern Hemisphere Explorer spread out on your bed. And that's just, I mean, in retrospect, that's part of the joy of homeschooling. At the time, it's just, yeah, really long days. If you have kids who can bake, that really helps.
I was gonna say, sometimes our days are long because the mindset is not there for the kids. And it's just like, we're going through the math problems and they're not getting it. And they're just checked out. They're tired and their brain is shutting down. That's a time for you to say, okay, we have to make an executive decision and say, we're going to table this for tomorrow. Or I've heard Jen tell us several times, you know, kids, you need to go run around the house 4 or 5 times to reset your brain so we can get through this project right here. You have to know your kids to know at what point we're getting something out of it and they're enjoying, they're learning, or are they battling and it's a long thing? And how do we reset it? And I've taken great wisdom from listening to all these moms of, like Jen's example, run around the house, reset, do something physical so you can sit down and do something mental. Sometimes you're in the middle of math and it's not coming. So let's stop. Let's go read a chapter out of our read aloud. So we're doing something pleasurable, or let's build a science experiment. And then we'll just come back and we'll finish the math later. That just resets their processing. I mean, I don't know how many times I'm trying to think of how to do something with my job and I have to go to a different project. And then while I'm in it, I'm like, oh, I know what I need to do. And I go back. I have to stop focusing on it so I can focus on it. It's weird, but that's how it works.
But Jonna, have you ever had that when you play like a word game where you struggle and struggle and struggle? And then if you get frustrated and just close that app and then come back in 3 hours and you're like, oh, I didn't finish it. And you open it and you can see it. It's so obvious.
Almost every day with Wordle. Every day.
So I have to remember that my kids, that's how my kids do math, where I explain it and explain it and explain it. And then they go, but if we close it and come back later, if we go do something else and then come back, mm-hmm. they're like, oh, so you just multiply across the top?
Yes. It's like marinating a good steak.
Yeah.
It takes, sometimes you got to add the seasonings and then just let it sit and go do something else.
And I do that, like when I play word games, that's how I get over hurdles. And I have to remember as a mom that they're not being difficult. Their little brains do the same thing.
Yeah, that's such a good point. I know my youngest, when he was learning to read and was struggling, he would start acting up every single time. And I was like, what is wrong with this kid? Why is he getting so, like, defiant? And all, you know, it was turning out to be like a behavior problem. And I was like, what are you doing? And then I realized he didn't have the words to tell me it was hard and he didn't understand it and couldn't do it. And so he would just melt down at the table every single day. And once we realized, okay, his acting out is him not understanding, it opened the communication where we were then able to get through and explain it in a way that he better understood. But I think for me, the most freeing thing has been disregarding the day one, day two, day three at the top of my IG and just using it as a checklist. And so every day when I open up my IG, I'm like, okay, these are the things that I would like to get through today. But I really keep a pulse on how are the kids responding to this? How do I feel? Am I exhausted? And there's just no way I can do all of this today. Let's save some of that for tomorrow. And we just go through and check things off as we do them. That way we know where to pick up. But if your child is loving history, keep reading history. Don't stop because the IG tells you to. Keep going, get that history done for the week, you know, or if they're loving science, get the science done. And I think when I shifted my mindset to that and, okay, we're just going to do what the kids can handle, what I can handle right now, that may mean some days it's 5 hours at a time and other days it might only be an hour. We're still getting everything done by the end of the week or, you know, within about 40 weeks. Sometimes we do push our 36 weeks out a little bit, but you have 52 weeks in a year. So that's fine too. Just try to stay flexible with it, and this is what we would like to do, but because of what's happening in our world today, this is what's actually going to happen. We have some questions about adding in like extracurricular activities and additional subjects, maybe like foreign language and things like that on top of what's in Sunlight's curriculum, as well as what to do with spare time. Clady actually said, with the pandemic, we've become more and more lenient with spare time. How do we snap back from that? And then how do you incorporate other things you want the kids to learn or maybe they need to learn for high school and you feel like you don't have the time to add those subjects in?
I always had things I didn't have time for. I mean, there was always something that we weren't going to get to. And I think you have to trust that, especially once they're, you know, like finishing high school and we're just not going to get to whatever that really neat piece of curriculum was. I've really had to trust that my kids enjoy learning and they like discovering new things. And so even as adults, they're going to find things to learn, whether it's something they need for their job or just something they wished we had gotten to. And so, you know, there's a point where you just kind of got to set it free, especially with those older ones.
Right. So when it came to high school and like foreign languages, I treated that just like I would math. I mean, it was a required course I had to have for school, and it weighed as much as math in my scheduling for my kids. Bright side is that usually there was not as much homework. I mean, like there's not extra work beyond the lesson that they had for language arts. They learned that foreign language. They were able to do it. It didn't take extra time. They just could do it. Extracurricular activities like maybe you did crochet or horseback riding or whatever, that was more of a privilege extracurricular. And so they had to do the work to get to that point. And if I'm carving out the time to take you to the lesson or I'm carving out the time to get you there, I need you to do the work to get yourself there. So that was the other side of it, you know, and we did Taekwondo with our kids. And if they weren't practicing at home and we went to a couple lessons and they were not the kids that knew what they needed to do, then I might say, we're not going to go to Taekwondo this week. You didn't do the practice for it. I can't take you to it. So again, trying to help put it in their hands as opposed to being the pusher, just that you're the vessel to get them there, helping them get there. So.
Yeah. And I know I mentioned it earlier, but I outsource a lot of those extra, like the special classes, because I don't have the time or the desire to teach a lot of that stuff myself. And so anything like that, if you have a co-op you can join, I know back, I was homeschooled for 1 year myself, and I was part of a science club where once a month, each kid, like all the kids would get together at one mom's house and she would do a science experiment with the kids, and then another mom would do it the next month. And it wasn't an actual co-op, but it was kind of the same idea of outsourcing that. Any sort of lessons, like you said, Jonna, the kids know they have to have their schoolwork done if they want to go to the dance lesson or theater or all their extra stuff. But yeah, I tried not to take that on myself. Clady, in response to your question about being lenient with spare time, I do require my kids to do something. I don't care if it's sports or music lessons or what, but they each need an activity. I think that's important to get them out around other kids. I think it's important to learn new skills. And so that's something that I require them to do, but I do not take on the teaching of that myself. I would much rather just follow the IG and do the academic things. Jen is asking about some ways to do physical education besides sending them outside. We do some structured sports, but it's limited and would like to find a daily solution for physical activity. I know I've seen this concern before too, if you live in an area where it's cold a lot, so going outside is not always an option. What are your suggestions for that? I think physical activity does help get a lot of those wiggles out.
And say, we've even done P90X with the kids. You know, I need to get in shape. Guess what, kids? You're coming and every morning you're going to do 30 minutes with me. And that was, it was a video or whatever we did. That was one way. Another that we did was having our kids, often we said, you have to be in one sport. You can only do one sport. You can't do two sports because I'm not taking you two different practices during the week. You only get one, pick it wisely, but make them be in a sport because it teaches them sportsmanship. It teaches them team and how to work as a team, think as a team and not be just about me, but how do I help my team function? And that kept them active beyond take two loops around the house because you're not focusing on math. So,
yeah, organized sports saved my kids, I think. I had one teenage son who played soccer 5-6 days a week, and I think it saved our relationship. Thank you, Sharks. Because they have to be tired enough to focus. And some kids have really high physical exertion needs. And so organized sports, being on a team, everything Jonna just said, I have resorted to, I think ours was Jillian Michaels at the time. But yeah, same. I mean, if we can't go outside, then I'll find you an inside sport like karate, like swim, whatever. If we can't even get there, then there's an app for that at this point. I was going to say we have a DVD, but.
I have a DVD for that. Yeah. Or VHS if you're my age.
VHS.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of at-home workouts as well, not even just for the kids, but for you as the parent. If you're stressed and overwhelmed, a lot of times working out yourself before you start the day is super helpful for that, and it allows you to do it at home. Another thing that we like to do is just turn on some loud music and have a living room dance party. That is something that I've done my entire life to relieve stress. I mean, in college, I would lock myself in my room and dance around. And so now we just do it with the kids. And that's something that can be a lot of fun too. Also, a lot of people talk about if they've got wiggly kids sitting on the giant exercise ball while they do their school, allows them to bounce and get some of those wiggles out too. So that's another great, great option as well.
So we have to bounce too high.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't want to pop the ball. We have some questions about socialization. We're about to run out of time, but let's talk a little bit about that. I know I have never done a co-op where parents have to be involved because I work during the day and there's just no way I can do that. But I found other ways to socialize my kids. What do you guys think, you know, if you're doing a lot of things and may not be available during typical homeschool activities, you know, what do you do to get your kids out and meeting other kids and developing those social skills?
I mean,
so, go ahead. I was gonna say, I worked often 20 hours a week while trying to homeschool four kids. Yes, we were in a co-op because I also ran a co-op all my homeschool career, but really where my kids got most of their friends were, we were in kids choir. So they were at church on Wednesday night, and they might be at church on Sunday night. We were at church on Sunday. They played in a sport that was not during the school hour or work hours. They were on weekends or evenings. And so their socialization was coming from all those kind of activities. And I didn't count on co-ops to be, or the field trips to be, where they got their socialization. I was able to cherry pick their friends by picking the organization that I was able to go to. So.
Yep. We did all that stuff. Choir, church activities, youth groups, everything from scouts to all kinds of sports, art classes. It kind of depended. We've moved several times, so whatever thing was available. We lived in one place where the like premier activity in that town was tennis. So my older kids played tennis for several years. Nothing I would ever pick, but like the price was right and she was pro homeschooling. And so, and that's what their friends were doing. So we played tennis. Yeah, socialization has never been a problem for us. I mean, people are everywhere.
It's the limiting the socialization has been the problem.
Yeah, and that's something you might want to keep in mind. I know we limit it to, okay, each kid can have like one or two activities, and I only have two kids. So those of you with more kids, like, you may have to limit it to one activity per child. But yeah, youth group is great. My daughter's closest friends come from youth group. You know, there's a ton of community activities like that that you can find. Jen, I love what you said about when you move, seeing what's popular in an area. I mean, if you live in any sort of area with like a parks and rec department that sends you, here's, you know, these 6 weeks worth of classes or whatever, you can do all of that as well. For those of you that are asking if you'll be able to watch this again, yes, you will. And I know we're seeing a ton of questions that we have not gotten to as well. So if we did not get to your question, make sure you post it in the Sunlight app. If you are watching and not in the Sunlight app, go join the Sunlight app. We would love to have you there. We post a ton of helpful videos and resources there, and you'll be able to watch the replay of this video there and post your questions, and our Sunlight mentors, as well as Jonna and Jen and I, will be able to see that and give you some tips and tricks. But just remember, I think the biggest thing is give yourself grace. It doesn't have to be perfect, you know, and be willing to adapt. Every single year, I change up what I'm doing depending on what my needs are at that time. Ladies, do you have any closing thoughts that we can share, you know, before the video ends?
Remember, you have 365 days in your year. It's not limited to your 100 and whatever days, 165 days, 85 days, 80 days. You also, whiteout works great, and you are the best teacher for your kids, and do not look at everybody else and how they do it. You do what's best for your kids.
Okay, Jonna stole like three of mine.
Sorry.
So I will say Sunlight is so full and so complete that even if you only get to 80% of it in a year, that is more than enough. You're doing great. You are the perfect teacher for your specific kids. So just keep on trucking. And if you have questions, we can help, if we can walk you through something, or even just celebrate or empathize, post it on the app. We're there all day, every day.
Oh, and I thought of one more thing too. Remember your why. Why do you want to homeschool? When it gets hard to do 57 things and you're like, oh, why am I putting myself through this? Remember why you want to homeschool. I fell in love with Sunlight, and now I have made sure that I can do it all. But that's because I really want to hold on to that homeschooling piece. And I think that makes it a lot easier. So find your why, hold on to it. And like you guys said, if you need anything at all, join us in the app. We will answer your questions. We love talking to you guys and hearing how you homeschool. And if you found any great solutions, share that as well, because you might be helping someone else. So thanks for joining us. We'll see you over in the app.